Over the summer is, for the first few weeks, we're going to look at some parables that Jesus told. Gareth kicked us off last week looking at the parable of the sower and the four different types of seed and about which soil are we going to be and how are we going to be able to use that to then reach out to others. Because the good soil produces 10, 20, 30, hundreds more times than any other. And so we're going to pull out a little bit more about seeds today. And so Georgina's got the Bibles. So we're going to go Matthew 13, either pull it up on your phone or pull it up on in your Bible if you've got it with you, or the one that Georgina's handing out. Seems that the whole of Matthew 13 is all about, well, a large chunk of it is about seeds. It was obviously that it must have been festival season for Jesus, and everything that I seem to be thinking about right now seems to be related to camping, and obviously Jesus was doing the farmland tour at this moment in Matthew's gospel. So we've just had the parable of the sower, and picking it up at verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did the seeds come? Where did the weeds come from?" "The enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No, no, no," he answered. "Because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and put them in bundles and to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Let's jump to verse 36. Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came with him and said, "Explain this parable of the weeds in the fields." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands on the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned into the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. And the Son of Man will send his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." What do you make of that then? Like, what does it mean? That was definitely one of my questions. Last night I left Shepton Mallet at 9 o'clock, and that was all I thought about. What on earth does this mean for us today? And praise the Lord for the M5 being shut, and praise the Lord for the M6 being shut. Don't you just love workmen? I love sweets. I will eat any of you under the table when it comes to Haribo. Dare you. Because I was told that I was allergic to it as a kid. And I love any types of sweets. Okay, but I really do quite like Jelly Belly, probably because they're the most expensive. All right. Now, I'm not sure about you whether you are someone who sorts your sweets and you've got OCD about it, or you're just someone that just puts your hand in, you don't really care, and in it goes. So back in when we used to work in Stockport, my team decided to, as part of my Christmas gift one year, was to sign me up as a member of the Jelly Belly Club. This isn't actually a thing, and what they used to do was every 2 to 3 months, you would get a packet of Jelly Belly, of the new flavors that were coming out. And so I have tasted quite a lot of Jelly Bellies over my... Now, it's not a big pack, it's only a few. However, some of them are really interesting. I don't know if you put your hand in, like, you're not really sure what you're going to get, are you, really? Sometimes you get that really fiery one. You might get the licorice one. You might get a really nice lemony one. Well, one of the packs that I got didn't have a label on it. So I gathered the team into the office. We laid them out, one each. I said, guys, I don't know what it is, but who's up for a challenge? And they said, yeah, all right then. 3, 2, 1, go. What I tasted was pure roasted garlic. I then got attacked by my team with bits of roasted garlic Jelly Belly in my face. Because they were disgusting. Like, I've played some really bad games as a youth worker, okay? But this, just this one little sweet, was just horrible. But I was thinking, like, what if that was in a pack? I've never tasted them since, so I'm guessing they got really bad reviews. But, like, you put your hand into the packet of Jelly Belly and you, like, how do you know? Because they look so similar, some of them. And then it gets really frustrating, doesn't it? Because you're like, oh, I really like the red one. So you get all the red ones out, and then you realize that that one of them is the really fiery one, which you really don't like, but it's mixed in with all the others, and you're like, ah. And how do we sort these different bits out? The good soil from last week means that we grow, but how do people know that we are Christians? How do people, you know, do we walk around with t-shirts on? There are an awful lot of cheesy Christian t-shirts on sale at New Wine right now. I was looking at them yesterday. Does my faith look big in this? Those types of comments, and you're like, oh my days, like, really? But, like, how do people know that we are Christians? Because most of you are normal. Most of you have got normal, real jobs. And, like, how do people know it? Well, they will know it because of two things. John 13 says, they will know that you are my disciples. How? Because of how you love them. And because of how you love each other. What a beautiful thing for Sue to say. I found love here. How do people know that we are Christians? It's not just, people don't even think this is a church building. They think it's a town hall. And yet, it's how we show love shows that we are followers of Jesus. The other thing is from Galatians 5. All right, how do we know that we are Christians? Because the fruit of the Spirit is evident, okay? There is love, there is joy, there is peace, there is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Okay? They are things that distinguish us from the rest of the world. They are the things. Now, I found out about these weeds while I was doing some research yesterday. Not whilst I was driving, everybody. You'll be glad to know. But apparently, back in Jesus' day, when they were sowing the seed, the weeds that would have grown up with the wheat looked just like the wheat until the heads formed. And then they went, ah, that isn't, but that is. And that is how they would know whether they had wheat in the field or whether they had weeds in the field. And whether the two were mixed in together. Which is why you get this question in the parable of, wait a minute, I thought you'd sowed good seed. Where's this stuff coming from? Because these guys obviously know that there's something not right, and then they go, it's all right, the evil one's done it. Some guy has come in and tried to sabotage the whole of my crop. Probably, I guess Jesus would have seen this happening with neighboring farms, quite possibly. So what about you and me? Don't worry, I'm not thinking that we're weeds. I'm quite hopeful we're not. All right? And we will grow. Because if we establish ourselves in good soil, if we are loving one another, showing God's love, and we are starting to see these things happen, we're reading our Bibles, we're spending time with God, these things are what's going to make us good and strong and healthy and enable us to live our lives out for Jesus. But our world, we have good stuff and there is bad stuff. When I was working in Ripon, my first ever assembly in front of the grammar school, I was walking from church up the hill to the grammar school. I have never been in a grammar school before, and so I put on my best jeans, and I had my nice shoes on, and it had rained, but it wasn't raining at the time. So I was walking up, and at the bottom of the hill, there was a roundabout. And at the roundabout was a rather large puddle because everything had come from the top of the hill down to the bottom. I am walking up, just kind of going, God, I haven't got a clue what I'm going to do. I don't know what this place is going to be like. Help. And as I'm walking, a Warburton's bread van comes down the hill, realizes that there's a rather large puddle at the bottom of the hill, and then decides, no, I'm not going to swerve round it. I'm going to go right through it. And the whole of the side of me got absolutely drenched. And I'm walking up like dry on one side and wet on the other side. And I get into see the headmaster, and I knew him from church. And I said, hey, Martin. He says, hey, how are you? I said, well, I'm living proof that bad things happen to good people today. And I got to stand up in front of their sixth form and tell exactly the same story. Because there is good stuff in this world, but there is also bad stuff, and they seem to kind of happen. Bad things do happen to good people. But it does seem at sometimes that bad people seem to get the good stuff. But the Bible is quite clear that actually that stuff's going to get sorted out. And God seems okay with that. He seems to be able to handle that good and bad at the same time. We kind of struggle with that. But God sees both good and bad in us, and he wants us to be more good than bad. What did he do to sort out the bad? He sent his only son. I got to talk about Jesus yesterday to 600, 8 and 9-year-olds. And I was talking about Daniel 1, and then God just kind of said, right, I just want you to talk about me. I just want you to talk about Jesus. Stop talking about whatever you're talking about. I was like, oh, okay, must be boring. And I just said, look, do you know what? At the start of New Wine, some of us here have gone to church all of our lives, and yet we don't know Jesus. If you want to say yes, because God loves you, stand up now. Like 250, 300 boys and girls just said, yeah, I'm in. And I'm just there like, oh, that journey has started for them. And how exciting is that? Your journey started at a particular point. Why? Because God is good and he got good stuff for you and he's trying to rid out of that bad stuff. You are the good wheat. You are not the weeds in this story. But the whole, as Jesus went on to explain it, he actually said, look, there is good, there is bad stuff that's going to happen in the field, in the world. But let's not worry too much. The second thing is that God's okay with good stuff growing around bad stuff. All right? Because if we look at this, one of my other things that I quite enjoy, I'm sure that Gareth will listen to this. So, but I am a little bit of a, I quite like my David Attenborough programs. I love a little bit. I used to watch Animal Planet way too much at my mum and dad's house, right? Steve Irwin, what a legend that guy was. Like, wrestling with crocodiles, bless him. Anyway, but There's always that bit in the bushlands in Africa, on the plains in Africa, where it gets so hot that fires start and it just burns away everything. And then the monsoon comes down, the water comes down, and then all of a sudden, what was dead, good stuff starts to sprout up again. And God is okay with good things growing around the bad. Why? Because it starts to have an effect. Death can't, if it's dead, it's dead. Yeah? But if it's alive, it's going to grow and it's going to flourish. Like they do that time-lapse thing, don't they? Where they just focus on one little bit opening up of little grass. And then it kind of goes like from day to night and back again. And then all of a sudden, it's like a green carpet again. Because life takes an effect. For you and me, as we are living our lives, the good stuff that we have, as we grow more with Jesus, we get to know Jesus more and more, we will start to have an effect in the places that we live. We will start to have an effect with the people around us. We will start to have effect in our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, wherever it is. Because we're spending time with him and growing. And good stuff can grow around the bad stuff. It might not, like in the sense of the wheat and the weeds, they are two different things. But for you and me, we can start to have an effect on people. Because we do have an effect. Because people watch us and they see all those things from Galatians sprouting in us. Finally, God promises, as I've said, to deal with the evil stuff someday. It's just not happened yet. And all we need to do is trust him. It's all about trust. We need to trust that God knows what he's doing. We can't worry about whether it's wheat or weeds. I don't know the difference, in all honesty, in our garden. Not that we've got lots of weeds, but I'm a rubbish gardener. I'm an awful, Claire is amazing at it. I'm like, don't know. I know when I'm required for gardening. Because Claire will say, have you got a sledgehammer or can you just dig that for me? And I just have to trust that she knows what she's doing. You know? And in our world, we just have to trust that God is going to sort all this bad stuff out at some point. But right now, we are here, as Esther was, for such a time as this, to do what God has called us to do. He has called us to share our faith with others. So, let's remain in that place of knowing there is good, there is bad. Let's know that we will, where we grow, we will start to have an effect. And as we start to have an effect, all we can do is trust. There are people that I come across that I talk about Jesus to, and I had an incredible conversation with the new head teacher at who's going to be there in September this week. And as I'm talking to her, I can just see that God is doing stuff around her and in her life. And both Gareth and I have kind of said stuff to her, and she's like, oh yeah, oh, right. Okay, but it's as we start to have an effect, as we start to share. She, you know, in my meeting, she didn't kind of, you know, confess her sins and give her life straight away to Jesus, you know, but the conversations are starting and it takes time. But we have to trust that God knows what he's doing because it's not on us. We just have to talk it, share it, be it. The rest is up to him. So, what is it that you're going to take away with you this morning? What is it that God is pressing on you? As I drove down this morning from our house, and basically just saying, Jesus, you're going to have to do it because I don't know what day it is. In my mind's eye, I saw a cup full of soil, and you know when we're kids we put like watercress, we put cress on the top or we put a whatever, and with some seeds we press in so that they can then grow. And I just sense that for some of us, there's stuff that we just need to allow him to press us a little bit deeper in so that we can then grow fully. So God, thank you. Thank you for this parable. Give us ears to hear what it is that you're saying. And in the areas where we're feeling a little bit, we're not sure if we're growing, we're not sure we're doing this, we're not sure we're doing that. Help us to trust you. Help us to grow. And help us to know that you're able to deal with the good and the bad. The good and the bad in the world, but also in us because of what Jesus has done for us.